Turn to Psalm 23. And we today are especially going to look at verses 2 and 3. Now let me read the psalm to you. I'm going to read out of the King James first, and then I'm going to come back and look at the Christian Standard, which is what I'm preaching from. Most of us have memorized this. How many of you are more familiar with this from the King James or New King James? That's what we've heard over the years. So listen carefully as I read. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, if you'll get your outline out of the bulletin and keep it in front of you, please, I'm going to read through that again from the Christian Standard, which is the Christian Standard Bible that I'm preaching from. The Lord is my shepherd. I have what I need. He lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He renews my life. He leads me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even when I go through the darkest valley, I fear no danger, for you are with me. Let me encourage you to underline that phrase in your Bibles in verse 4, for you are with me. That's probably the key thought in the whole passage there. You are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Only goodness and faithful love will pursue me all the days of my life. Now, let me remind you, just as we enjoyed the song earlier, the Psalms was the hymn book for the Israel, the Jewish people. That's what they sang. And so David wrote this as a song. And I remind you that David wrote this from his own experience. And as I mentioned earlier, we hear this psalm so often at funerals, but we forget the fact that it's an everyday psalm. And as we continue to work our way through it, you'll understand that this is a psalm that applies to everyday life. Because David is expressing to us that even he is a shepherd, as a king, as a military leader, he understood that he had needs in his life. And that's why you go to that verse 4, for you are with me. And David wanted to remind himself as well as us, the Lord is always with us. Now we have needs, we have daily needs. We have needs sometimes that we just did not anticipate, right? We did not see that coming. And so that's why I've given the central theme to these second verses 2 and 3. We need to trust the authority of Scripture as our rule of faith and behavior. I read recently, and I forget the context in which I read it, but someone said, how often daily do you think about your life in reflection to the Word of God and what's going on in your life that day? Life is full of distractions, isn't it? Life is full of busyness. Life is full of activity. And sometimes if we're not careful, we can get through a day without even acknowledging the importance of God's place in our life. We need to trust the authority of the Word of God It ought to be our rule for faith and behavior. Are you trusting God's word? Now just think about over 3,000 years ago, David wrote this. This is what they tell us is internal evidence of the validity of Scripture, the credibility of the Word of God, is we can have a psalm that was written over 3,000 years, and yet it is up to date as today's newspaper. I mean, it is right on target with our needs today. And I followed that theme of the needs that David might have in his life, because keep in mind that when you're studying the Word of God, you've got to think about the history from which that particular section was written. You've also got to think about the culture. You can't understand or comprehend this psalm or discern what David's saying without thinking about the culture of his day. And sometimes we want to apply our Western culture to everything in the Word of God, and we miss sometimes the important application that is made to us. And so we see that David continues to share with us from his needs, and you'll notice in your outline we're going to look at David's relational needs. We're going to look at David's spiritual needs and David's directional needs. Now, let me just review quickly. Verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. Boy, that in itself is so full. And focus on that. David starts out, the Lord God, Jehovah, Yahweh, God Almighty. He is my shepherd. David personalized that. It became relational to him. He said, I have what I need. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I have what I need in the Lord. Now, if you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, then the Bible describes you as a sheep. I was talking to a friend of mine in the gym the other day, and he said, what are you preaching from? And I said, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. And I said, you know, we're all sheep. Of course, he's a Christian, and I was referring to Christians. He said, yes, we're all sheep, but there are those the Bible describes as goats. And the New Testament does describe, you know, the division. There's a difference between sheep and goats. But if you're saved today, you're a sheep. And David recognized the fact that the Lord God Almighty, Jehovah God, he is my shepherd. And you have to personalize that like David. It's a relational. He starts off by sharing with us, I'm speaking to you from a personal relationship. I grew up as a shepherd, as a young boy. I watch sheep. I understand that of which I speak and I share with you. And so we see that importance of relational needs. And then he says, I have what I need. I shall not want. And I want you just to stop and ponder this thought and meditate on this right now. God has the solution to every need you and I have. And just think about that. You might come today, and we come with different needs in our lives and our hearts. And you might be here today, and you might just feel overwhelmed with what's gone in your life. You might feel like, boy, I didn't see this coming. But God has a solution, and it's in the Word of God. We live in a day where we hear so much about relativism, pluralism. Pluralism wants us to understand that, you know, it doesn't matter what God you worship, as long as you worship a God. But David recognized the fact that we don't worship a God, we worship the God, the one true God Almighty. So it's relational. It starts with your personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I hope you know Christ is your Savior. I love 1 John chapter 5. There's a couple of great verses in there. I think it's about verse 10 or 11. John said, "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life." How simple can you get? He that hath the Son, he who has the Son of God in his life, he who has confessed his need for a Savior and has asked Jesus to come into his life and save him, he that hath the Son, you have eternal life. Sunday school this morning, we looked at Ephesians chapter 1, and we see in Ephesians 1 that the writer is reminding us there that he mentions in the early parts there that we're blessed in the heavenlies, and Ephesians 1 reminds us that heaven's already our home. It's not something we're not looking for a sweet by and by pie in the sky. Heaven's already our home. We're just pilgrims. We're foreigners. We're just passing through. We're going to be with him soon. Look at his second thought there. So after that verse 1 and after the relational need, David says, "I started as a shepherd, so I'm going to describe my relationship to God in those terms." And so we see that David's reminding us that some Christians have trusted God to save them for eternity. But if we're not careful, we can lose our confidence that God can provide for us. And you might sit here today and say, I've trusted Jesus as my Savior, but I'm not sure I'm confident that he can meet every need. And I encourage you to just saturate your heart and soul and mind with this portion of Scripture. David's beautiful poetic testimony can help instill in us the confidence that God can meet your needs. Do you have an addiction you're struggling with? God can help you overcome that. Okay, secondly, he says David has spiritual needs. Look at verse 2. Verse 2, the King James says, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters." Boy, can you picture that? Now, don't just settle on a picture of David just laying out in, boy, the green grass in a field, just laying back on one arm, maybe with a bottle of water or a good cup of coffee or maybe a Diet Pepsi or Coke Zero, I don't know. But that's not what he's picturing here. Now, in the Christian Standard, he said, "He lets me lie down in green pastures." Now, think about David is describing his spiritual needs here. And again, you have to go back to the culture in which David lived and what he's talking about. "He lets me down in green pastures." Again, we go back to the characteristics of a sheep. A sheep can't be driven. They have to be led. You don't get behind sheep with a whip, and boy, they'll scatter all over the place. But you'll remember we looked at John 10. I encourage you to read John 10 because it describes our chief shepherd. And he reminds us in John chapter 10 in the Gospels that God knows our voice. He hears our voice. He knows our voice. And you remember the characteristic of the shepherd. The sheep would know his voice. And even if his sheep got scattered in with some other sheep, if he stood up and began to speak, they would follow him. And that was a characteristic of them. Another characteristic was that if sheep were tired, if they were hungry, they would not lie down. One of their characteristics is they wanted to be fed. Now think about that in light. He lets me lie down in green pastures. Think about the application. You can't make a hungry sheep lie down, but if you can only fill its stomach, it will find a quiet place, lie down, And he will very contently begin to ruminate on that food and on those good things. And that's what the scriptures remind us in Psalms and Proverbs, is take the word of God and ruminate on it. Chew on it. Meditate on it. That's what medication, that's what the word medication, not medication, but meditation, okay? That's what meditation means, to chew on something, to ponder it, to think about it. And this is, we see David sharing here that he was content. He had a contentment. And I'm sure you would agree that that's a missing ingredient in our society. We live in a very discontented age, don't we? There's a lot of discontent. Think about our society today, this great country. This great country in which we live. Think of how many people just have no contentment. And so David is sharing with us. We see the pressures that with people sometimes. We see the demands on society. We see, if we're not careful, getting caught up in status symbols. And we see that so many phobias and ulcers can become a result of this. So we see the importance here, the green pastures. David is trying to say, I have no desire to prove anything. I want to find my contentment in Jesus Christ. I want to find my contentment in Him. Now notice what he goes on to say in the verse. He lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He leads me. He doesn't drive me, but he leads me in quiet waters. That word leads means he leads me gently. In the original text, that's what it would read. He leads me gently. He leads me beside the still waters. Again, you have the characteristic of the sheep coming before us. The sheep feared the water if it was a rushing stream. They feared getting wet because if they got wet, their wool coat, it would weigh them down with the wetness. And they feared that. And they feared losing their faculties as a result of that. So if you led them up to a stream, if the stream was a rushing stream, they would not drink from it. And David understood this. And so what the shepherd would do, he would take rocks and he would build a small dam and stop the water and calm it down, and then the sheep would drink out of it. I read a story recently. A guy was talking about scuba diving. Any of you ever done scuba diving? Nobody? You just run my story. I've never gone scuba diving either. I don't know if I have enough nerve to go that far down. But he was talking about been out on the water and in an area that scuba diving was very popular, and he said the water was rough. But he said then we put our equipment on and we went into the water and we went down. And he said it was amazing. As we went down, the water became very calm. And he said fish that we just could not describe, had never seen before in our life, all colors and sizes, just swimming by us as if nothing was going on. And he said it was a different world. And think about what David is reminding you and me of here as he reminds us of these stormy waves. So God meets David's spiritual needs. The cares and struggles of the world you know as well as I do, can leave us exhausted, can they? And these times are opportunities to realize that our dependence is on the Lord. And this is what David's trying to remind us of. And you think of David's life. You think of his struggles. You think when that God had already anointed him king, but yet he kept Saul on the seat, on the throne for that time. And Saul became jealous and was trying to kill David and chasing him. And then we see David becomes the king, and then he falls into sin with Bathsheba, and then he has all kinds of family issues. And so you can see the struggles that he had gone through in his own life. And so he's reminding us that we need opportunities to realize our dependence on the Lord for the spiritual refreshment. Sometimes we need to remind ourselves that not all storms are self-made. Sometimes storms come our way and we didn't ask for them. We had no idea. Sometimes situations that we're not responsible for just hit us like a force that we weren't anticipating. But the principle is the same. Even in these storms, there is a commitment on the part of the Lord to lead us into peaceful waters, even while the storm continues to rage. Now look at the next verse. David's directional needs. Now most of you are familiar with Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, but boy, we need to be reminded of that here, don't we? And I encourage you to mark this in your Bible, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, because David... I had it marked here, but I'm going the wrong direction. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own understanding. In all your ways, know him, and he will make your paths straight. Is that not what David's saying here? In verse 3, he reminds us, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And so he reminds us the need there to trust in the Lord. Don't rely on our own understanding. And this is exactly what he's doing in verse 3 for us. He renews my life. That's what that phrase means, he restoreth my soul. Now think about the Lord allowing this, the restoration of our soul. And think about what he's trying to teach us here in this relationship. There are times in your life and my life that we just need to get alone with God and just renew everything. Amen? There are times when we need to just restore that personal relationship. There are times when we've gotten away from our Bible study. We've gotten away from prayer. We're leaning on our own discernment, our own understanding. Those are times we slide away from church. We slide away from the things, if we're not careful, that are important to God. And so God is saying, he renews my life. He restoreth my soul. He brings renewal to me. Think about in your own life, what do you do to bring renewal or refreshment to your personal relationship with God? How do you bring that renewal and that personal relationship with him and that walk with him? And David is trying to encourage us again to understand the importance, because all of us go through times in life, and sometimes you might just feel tired and discouraged. And you might feel like the struggle is so prevalent, so hard to deal with. We all sometimes get weary or worn and sad. But what David is saying here, we don't have to stay that way. We don't have to wallow around in that self-pity. We don't have to wallow around in those negative thoughts. And he says, he restores my soul. He renews my spirit. It is Him I'm depending on to renew my spirit in life. I was thinking in relation to this, you think about how we're prone to wonder sometimes, and if we're not careful, get lost in what's really important in this life. And sometimes we just need guidance. We need to get back on the path and the trail that God wants us to walk. And you and I live in this technological age, and some of you are old enough like me to remember. You remember when we were traveling, and boy, we had this great big old map. We had to pull that thing out, and we're looking at that. Now, where did I make the wrong good night? Or a map atlas? Boy, don't you praise God for your GPS? Aren't you thankful for that? Isn't that amazing? I call that Lady Rhoda. And she speaks to me and keeps me on the right track. And what do you use on your GPS? What to use MapQuest? Or how many of you use MapQuest? How many use Google? How many of you could care less? But isn't it amazing that Barb and I always use MapQuest, and when we were in Texas, our daughter-in-law introduced us. She said, "Why don't you use Google?" And we started using Google and Google Maps. And boy, she's sharp. We're riding along in the car, and she said, "There's an accident up front. There's road work up front." I'm thinking, how in the world did she know that? Years ago, I bought a car, and it was a used car, and had a few miles on it. It was old. Some guy in New Jersey owned it, and I forgot to change the GPS. It was on the, and I think it was one of my boys that got in it once, and he was driving along, turned that GPS on, and he realized he was heading for New Jersey. Woodrow Wilson Bridge, how many of you know where the Woodrow Wilson Bridge is? We'd get right on top of that bridge, and that GPS would say, "Make a U-turn." And there was definitely some problems there. But look at what he's telling us there. He renews my life. He leads me along the right paths. He's talking about the right attitude of fellowship. That's why he said to the disciples, "Follow me and I will make you," right? Follow me and I'm not going to just leave you hanging out there on your own, but follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. But the most important part of that is follow me. And we see here the importance of fellowship, which guarantees the blessing of his leadership. And boy, how many times have I made decisions without spiritual discernment, without Holy Spirit directional discernment, and regretted that I didn't spend more time talking to the Lord about that. Can you identify with that? I mean, and so he's reminding us here that he leads me among the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. We can know that we're trusting the Lord to make the right path to open for us. And sometimes all of us are faced and you as well as me, sometimes you need to make a decision in what direction. And I think it's just good. I think we need to realize that God's not jerking us around. But God is capable of closing doors and opening doors, right? And I think sometimes if you're not sure, just wait on God. And ask him to open a door, to close a door, to give you the understanding, the discernment to know what decision to make. And that's what he's trying to teach us here through this. So check your options. Evaluate your decisions. Get all the advice you can. Make sure your advice is from someone who is spiritual. Explore all the consequences. Sometimes we make decisions without thinking about the consequences. And then in dependence on the shepherd to stop you if you're wrong or you need to go ahead. So God leads us along the right paths in life, and He's capable of rerouting us if we make the wrong decision or if we foolishly become wayward. Now, why would He do that? Because notice what David said, for His name's sake. For His name's sake, He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. That is so that others can hear us say, my God has brought me here. My God has led me. Isn't it rewarding to be able to say sometimes, I prayed and God led me. I prayed and God gave me the advice I needed. Isn't that better than saying, I prayed and I went ahead and moved out, but my decisions were not always what they needed to be? Notice our conclusion in your notes. We all need to walk close to God and appreciate His intimacy. This involves trusting Him fully with every need and challenge in life. The Lord can only meet our needs when we are committed to the authority of Scripture. In coming to trust who the shepherd is, we can come to appreciate what the shepherd does. Think about this morning, who is the shepherd and what does He want to do for me and what does He want me to do as a result of that? For example, if the Lord really is your shepherd and you are really one of His sheep, you will not want for rest. He makes His sheep to lie down in green pastures. Are you restless today? Are you needy? Like Billy Graham reminded us, then let the Bible begin to saturate your mind and soul. One writer said, if you're not getting anything out of the Word, you have it open and you're reading it, but it's just not, he said, look for Jesus. Look for Jesus. And this is exactly what David is saying. Look for Jesus. Look for the Lord. And sometimes that's what we need to get from this. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the Word of God this morning. We thank You again for Your many blessings upon us, and we thank You for the truth of Your Word. And we thank You for this great psalm that David wrote to us, helping us to understand and helping us to comprehend the importance of spiritual growth and spiritual maturity and the importance of trusting the Lord. And I pray to God that each of us would leave here today and that in our heart we would say personally and relationally, the Lord is definitely my Savior. But I pray also that we'll seek the right direction and we'll seek to meet our spiritual needs only as we stay close to and walk in that personal relationship with the Lord. For as David reminded us, God is always with us. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I wonder if you're here today and you say, Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm in that sheepfold. I'm not sure I've made the right decision and that I've trusted Jesus as my personal Savior. Would you slip your hand up? Let me pray for you. Anyone? Please pray for me that I'll get my salvation settled. I wonder if you're here today and you say, Pastor, I'm praying even as we close about my relational needs, about my directional needs, and about my spiritual needs. And like David 3,000 years ago, I'm praying this morning that the Holy Spirit will speak to me and to help me to truly say that the Lord is my shepherd. Slip your hand up and let me know that you're praying that as we close this morning. Anyone praying that? Yes, thank you. Anyone else? Pastor, I'm praying that God will meet my needs today. And then like David of old, that I'll apply these scriptures to my life. Anyone else? Just slip your hand up quickly. Yes. Father, we thank you for the word of God. Now bless as we partake of the Lord's Supper. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.